All right, we're starting here on the two dots on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Mar is quoting from the Mishnah, Mahin Motzin Achat Ushtayim. It's talking about the number of fingers that individuals put out when they have to make a decision, a lottery, about who got there first. It says, Hashtashayim Motzin Achat Mibay. He sticks out two fingers, and obviously you can stick out one finger. Marchista Lokasha. Kan Bibari, Kan Bechole. Depends if he's healthy or if he's weak. Hatanya Achat Motzin Shtayim Ein Motzin. Then we have a braita that says the opposite, which is that you're allowed to put out one, two, you're not allowed to put out. That's talking about a healthy person. Aval b'chole, comes to six, and you can even put out two. Vayechidim motzim shtayim, and the individuals put out two. Vein monim lehem el achat, but they only count one. Vein monim lo el achat? What do you mean you only count one? Vatanya, em motzim lo shlish v'lo gudal. Now you're allowed to put out the middle finger and not your thumb, mipnei ramayim, because of the cheaters. Vimotzi shlish, monim lo. If he puts out the third one, then he counts it. Gudal, ein monim lo. If he puts out his thumb, they don't count it. Below od, el shaloket. Not only if he put out his thumb, you do not count it, he gets lashes for that. Minemune bipkia, from the person who's in charge over there with the pkia. So now, my monim lo, nami achat. That what it means here is to count him as one. So the fear, which was mentioned in the Mishnah, our fear is when they throw out the fingers, is that someone could influence the outcome of the lottery or the shootout here. Which is that they're putting out the fingers. The way the process worked was they stood around in a circle. Everybody threw in their fingers, and then the mimuneh picked a large number. And then the mimuneh walks around counting the fingers. He picks a large number. So now as he approaches the final number, someone could influence the outcome by pulling out an extra finger and seeing if I quickly make the calculation, figure out that he could have it land on him. So in order to prevent that, we didn't allow them to put out their gudal. The gudal, because the thumb, when you hold it out with the finger, you can make it look like it's actually, when he's going quickly, like it's two people. He ends up counting the extra one, or he can pull it in, and he could influence the outcome. So therefore they said no thumbs in there, because thumbs can go in and out, and they could fake him out. Also, I can't put out two fingers, you can only put out one finger. That's what the Braita said. But our Mishnah seems to indicate that you put out one or two. The answer to that question is, it depends if the person's healthy. Can a person hold out a single finger? Or it's too hard for them to hold out a single finger, so we let them hold out two fingers. But those two fingers are only counted as one count. The last thing is, if a person does put out their middle finger or does put out their thumb, how do we view that? Now, if they put out their thumb, we clearly think that they are cheating. And that's what it says over here, that he gets malkot, he gets lashes for doing that. On the other hand, if he puts out the middle finger, the assumption is that he couldn't put one finger out. It was too difficult. So he put out the two fingers, and we don't punish him for it. Now, it says here that we count it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you count it? You just said before, you can only have one. So the Gemara's answer is that you can only count it as one. So that's the buildup of these three different braita that we brought. You can read it again just quickly so you can see that, which is, Hashtashtayim motzim achat mibayi. Our Mishnah says two, one and two. If you put out two, why can't you put out one? So the Gemara to that is, Amar of Chista Lokasha kam b'bari kam b'chole. Depends on who's the person putting it out. A bari can only put out one finger. A chole is allowed to put out the second finger because it's easy for them to hold it out. Tanya, benichuta, as a support for this understanding. Achat motzim, shtayim en motzim. You can put out one, you can't put out two. B'med, the very moment b'bari. Aval b'chole, afilu shtayim motzim. Second person can put out two. Vayechidim. Alright, so yechidim motzim shtayim. Yechidim can put out two. So if you look at Rashi, who are the Yechidim over here? Becholim sheinam yoshvim mimshar bnei adam el shochvim o yoshvim levadam. Kol Yechidim, they are put on the side. These are people that are with the rest of the people. They're sick. So those individuals who are sick can put out two. Ve'enu monim lehem el achat. Ve'enu monim lo el achat. You only count one. Vatanya ein motzim lo shlish v'lo godal. You can't put out the middle finger. You can't put out the thumb. Bivnei ramayim, because of the cheaters. If you put out the middle finger, you do count it. Which it makes it sound like if he does put out the middle finger, you count it as two. For sure, a thumb you do not count. Then you do get whipped by the person who's in charge here by the, with the pekia. My monim lo. So the Gemara's answer to what monim lo is, nami achat, only counts one. Right? So that's the solution. Again, through the three different braitot, that's what's being described over here. My pekia. What's this pekia that we're talking about here? Amar Rav. Madro. So my madro. Amra papa matroko detaye. But the posik vireshe. It is the whip of the Arab merchants that is split at the end. And it's literally lashes. Instead of being a solid tip on the whip, it either splits into two or splits into a number of threads at the end because it's more painful, more effective. And they use it here. Rashi says they used it for prodding the horses or keeping the horses in line. So that's the type of whip that we're talking about here. So Amar Abaye, Mireisha Vamina, Haditznan, that's what we saw in Shkalim Ben Bivai Mumunela Pkia, that Ben Bivai was in charge of the Pkia, Amina Ptilta. I thought he was in charge of the wicks. Pkia is like a ball or a twisted item. And so if that's the case, I thought he was running the wicks in the Mikdash. Kiditznan. Because we have a Mishnah, it's mentioned in Sukkah. Mavlai Michnesei Kohanim. What do you do with the leftover Begadim of the Kohanim? The worn down Big Day Kehuna. Umeham Yenehem, or in their belts. Mehem Hayu Mafkiin. Umehem Hayu Madlikim. They used to make them into wicks. And they used them to light the candelabras on the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, on Sukkot. For the light that they needed there, those were the wicks that were used. Came in the Shemana Laha. After I heard this, Titania Velo Od, Elish Loke Minimune Bibkia. After I heard this brighta here that says, well, he gets whipped by the Bibkia. Well, you're not getting whipped by the wicks. That's certainly not what's going on here. Amina, my Bibkia, Nagdo. Then after that, I realized what a Bibkia is. Bibkia is not necessarily a wick. It's a whip. And therefore, the Mimunela Bibkia means that he was in charge of the whippings in the Mikdash to keep everybody in line. Alright. Maaseh, Shayushneim, Shavim, Veratzin, Volim, Bekevish. So here, you have the story in the Mishnah where the two of them are running up the ramp together. And then one guy pushed the other guy, and he broke his leg, and they were racing up to the top. So Tarabanan, Maaseh, Bishnei, Kohanim, Shayushneim, Shavim. So another incident where you had two Kohanim that were neck and neck, Veratzin, Volim, Bekevish, and they were running up the ramp. Kadam echad mehem letoch arba amot shel chaviro. And in the final stage there, one of them got ahead, and he got to the arba amot before his friend. So the other guy was a little upset. So of course you would do this. Natal sakin, took a knife, v'taka lo belibo, and he killed him. A little upset that he had lost the race, and so he takes out a knife and kills him. Amar Rabbi Tzadok amalo ta'ulam. So Rabbi Tzadok gets up on the stairs of the ulam. Rashi over here speaks about this because Rabbi Tzadok can't be on the malo ta'ulam because he's not a Kohen. So ben ulam the mizbeach, only Kohenim can go when it's necessary. You can't just go there willy-nilly. So amalo ta'ulam, Rashi says something interesting here. It's worth reading Rashi only because of what he says. He says, Barabait ulamot harbei banasham hordus. Hordus made a number of ulamot there. So not just like we think the ulam that's into the heichal, which is the ulam. But there were other halls, there were other entranceways there. Banasham hordus, k'mo shekatuv b'sefer Yosef ben Gurion. How do I know that? Because I looked in Josephus. And in Josephus, alamalot ulam barabait. So Rashi quotes Josephus as his proof to the fact that there were multiple ulamot in the Mikdash. It's also Minyan Adiyoma. In the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, brings it down Alocha for Chanukah, when you light the Chanukah candles and you need to talk about the story of Chanukah, you should read from Josephus in order to go over the story of Chanukah. So that's because there's no Kitvei HaKodesh that has the story of Chanukah in it. So here you have Josephus. He's not even a first-hand source. He's a second-hand source. Got it from the Sefer HaMakkavim anyway. Sefer HaMakkavim is probably the closest thing to a first-hand source about what happened. And then Josephus obviously didn't leave at that time, so he's a second-hand source. He's taking it out of there with a little comment besides that. He adds in some little things. Vamar, Rabbi Tzadok is standing there and says, Cheinu Beit Yisrael, Shimu. Harei hu omer, it says in the Pasuk, Yimatzei chalal ba'adama, Be'etzu zikenecha v'shoftecha. This is the Pasuk that's found at the end of Parshat Shoftim with regards to Egla Rufa. Anu Amila vi Egla Rufa. Who are we going to bring the Egla Rufa for? Ala here, on the city, or Ala Azarot, on the Azarot here. Go kolam b'bichia. All the people started to crying. Ba vib shel tinok. The father of this Kohen here, I don't think tinok here literally means child, it means his young child, not a baby. Matzok zhume parfer. And he was still moving. I mean that he wasn't dead yet, he was still moving. Amar, the father says, Harehu kaparetchem. First of all, he's a kapara. His death will be a kapara for what transpired over here. But dain bi mi parfer. And my son is still flopping around here. Lo nitma sakin. And the sakin is not tame yet. So if you take the sakin out, then at least the sakin will not be tame. Lamedcha, to teach you. Shikasha lehem tarat kilim yoter mishpichat damim. They were more concerned about Tuma and Tara, then they were concerned about Shvichot Damim, about the killing. This Gemara is a very, very difficult Gemara because it's so condemning of the people of the time. But to be honest, it's not something unusual. Whenever we speak about this, I would quote this Gemara together with the Gemara Nidarim. Gemara Nidarim that talks about Sunan Nidarim do not take effect because they're considered, by definition, they're considered to be problematic Nidarim before you start. And that is, for instance, Nidrei Havai. Things that are exaggerations. From the start, everybody knows that it's an exaggeration. Business nidarim, when you're negotiating, said, this is my last position, I'm not going past here. Those types of nidarim are considered to be not real nidarim. One of those nidarim over there is nidrei anuntzin. It's a neder that you take when there are marauders or thieves that come in to steal stuff from you. And in that sugya there, the Gemara is talking about dina de machuta dina, because they are tax collectors, and that the fact that you do have to pay your taxes, that you can't just walk away. But there, the Gemara talks about them being tax collectors that were not so honest. They were taking more than they were supposed to, more than the taxation was. And so how do you prevent them? You take a neder and you say that this belongs to Hekdesh. I was makdish this. And all of a sudden, you say I'm makdishes, and they walk away. They say, no, and, oh, this is for Kodesh? We won't touch that. They're willing to take anything in this guy's house. They're willing to kill him. But if you tell them that the object belongs to Kodesh, they'll walk away and won't touch it. Very similar idea to what's mentioned over here, which is that people took very seriously, ben adam l'makom, took very seriously their issues of tumah tahara. They took very seriously issues of kodesh. They wouldn't abrogate something that was kodesh. On the other hand, when it comes to human life, when it comes to ben adam l'chaviro, they couldn't care less. They would kill people. They would steal all their possessions. They had no problem with that. And that's a serious issue that always has to be addressed in religious practice, which is that when a person is chared al dvar Hashem, that he makes sure that he's very, very careful about his ben adam l'makom, he has to be as careful about his ben adam l'chaviro. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quoted this Gemara when he spoke about the assassination of Rabin. This type of mentality is what leads to that type of behavior, is when people are so careful about ben adam l'makom, but yet they don't think carefully about the ben adam l'chaviro in these types of situations. Chenu Omer, and it also says, gam dam naki shafach menashe harbe me'od, ad Hashem yileh et Yerushalayim peh lepeh. We have corroboration of this in the Navi, that by Menashe it says that he spilled a tremendous amount of blood, that Yerushalayim was filled from end to end with blood. So we see that Shpichut Damim was a regular occurrence or something that didn't bother them. Although, obviously, they're quoting from Bayit Rishon versus the story here is in Bayit Sheni. Now, Hai Maaseh Kavdim. Which incident came first? The broken leg incident, which is mentioned in our Mishnah, or the stabbing incident that's mentioned here in the Braita? Ilema the Shpichut Damim. So if you say the Shpichut Damim case is first, Hasha Shpichut Damim lo takinu paisa, anishbar raglo takinu. So wait a minute. After the guy stabbed him, they said, all right, you know, things are okay. We'll let it keep going. Then all of a sudden, a guy breaks his legs. Oh, we can't do this anymore. We got to put in a pais. Ella, God's got to be the nishbara raglo kadim. The guy who broke the leg first. Well, came into the kinu paisa. Well, if they already put the lottery in place, then arba ot ma batayu. So then what are they doing with this arba amot situation over here? Because they no longer had the race up the ramp. Ela lolam dishvichu damim kadim. The stabbing incident was first. Umikara sabura cry ba'amahu. First time around, they thought, this was just an outlier incident. This wasn't the norm. Then came into Chazi, afilu memelu atu lidei sakana. Then they realized that the danger wasn't just in someone stabbing, but even just in the running up the ramp, there's a possibility that someone could get hurt. Takin rabbanu paisa. Then they introduced the pais to stop any problems or to prevent any problems from happening, to keep the safety of the kohanim running up the ramps and getting injured, either because their fellow kohen was a little upset at them, or because they were knocked off the ramp on their way up. I mean, Gemara here assumes that the fact that the guy broke his leg was something that was done incidentally. It wasn't intentional. Although the Mishnah says, v'dachaf oto, he pushed him. It sounds more like there was a little more intent to it. And that might have also changed, I think, the idea of ekrai, that it was happening more than just once. I mean, that the Kohanim, in their competitiveness to get up there, well, one guy killed him, the other guy pushed him off the ramp. And you see this recurring behavior of people pushing to get to the front. And therefore, they said no more. Right? Amar Rabbi Tzadok Amaloto Ulam. Amar Achenu Beit Yisrael Shimu. Harei Omer Ki Matzei Chalal Badama Anan Amid Havi Alayir Valazarot. Says Yerushalayim Batatuya Egla Arufai. Yerushalayim brings an Egla Arufa. Vatanya Asarad Varim Nemru Yerushalayim. There are 10 things said about Yerushalayim. Vizu Achat Vehen. And this is one of them. Eina Mevia Egla Arufa. Doesn't bring an Egla Arufa, as Rashi points out. Because this is based on the opinion that says that Yerushalayim lo nitchalka l'shvatim. If Yerushalayim lo nitchalka l'shvatim, then when you're looking for the place that's the rishta, the place that's located nearest by that you've inherited, well, you don't inherit Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the shvatim. So it doesn't qualify to be a city that would be considered by Egla Arufa. Tosavot says, so then why don't the Gemara just answer? This is according to the one who says that it was Nitchalka Lishvatim. So he says, well, either way, it wouldn't have worked because in the end, you have to answer differently here because there's no Shechut of Egla Arufa here. They knew who the killer was. So the Gemara is eventually going to get to that answer anyway. So the Gemara could have in the interim said, okay, you know what? Oh, this is according to the one who says, Nitchal Kadosh Batim. But in the end, you still have to come to the same answer, which is, we have to deal with the fact that why is he talking about Egel Arufa whatsoever? Since we're going in that direction anyway, it doesn't pay to answer in the interim because the answer will work for everything that's here, which is, it's not really a case of Egel Arufa. And that's what the Gemara says now. Behold, lo nudami ka'uktiv. Doesn't the pasuk say they don't know who killed him? The whole point of Egel Arufa is where they don't know who the killer is. Ah, nudami ka. They know exactly who killed him. The Kohen's standing right here. The guy who killed him is standing right there. Ela kedelar bot bibchia. So that's because they wanted to increase the crying here. Increase the crying to generate a sense of busha, sense of remorse, take rachrayut for it, take responsibility for what's taking place here. So he wanted to generate that, so he uses Egel Arufa as a platform, as a stage to get the people to understand what's going on here. Egel Arufa is a reflection of a problem where the reason that you bring up this Kenyan, the reason you made your Shotrim is because they didn't care enough about the individual. And we assume because they didn't care enough about the individual, that's why he got killed. There's Shfichut Damim, and we put that on the heads of the leaders. The fact that people are getting killed, the people are not taken care of properly, that's the leader's problem. So he's saying the same thing over here. Look what's going on over here. Somebody's got to take responsibility for it. The leader's got to step up here and understand that this is, the whole behavior is incorrect or problematic. So now we said, Ba aviv shel tinok, matzo shu meparver, v'arei amar hariu kabar atchem adayin b'ni kayam, v'chulei, l'amed chash kashel hem tarat kelim yoter mishpicha domim. So Yibaylo, the question is, it's a relative scale. So it's clear to him that, clear to them that Tuman Tara was more important than Shpichut Damim. Now that could be in one of two ways. It could be that Tuman Tara, they put too much emphasis on it, or was it that they put too little emphasis on the value of life? So which one is it? That's what the Gemara asks over here. Yibalu shvichut damim hu dezal, aval tarat kelim kidekayma kayma. Tarat kelim, they just treated like any other mitzvah. Shvichut damim, killing, life, value of life, that they didn't have any consideration for. Oh, dilmo shvichut damim kidekayma kayma. Maybe no. They held life, or the value of life, they kept at the right level. Aval tarat kelim hi dechamira. But they just elevated Tarat Kelim above that. They took that above what would have been otherwise considered to be normal. So Tashma Mikata Nosim Ta'ala Talmuda. You can prove it from the puzzle they bring to prove this. The puzzle they bring from Menashe says, Gam Dam Nakina Shafach Menashe Harbei Ma'od. So you see, the Gemara bringing the puzzle about Shpichu Damim shows you that the problem was a lack of consideration for life, a lack of consideration for Shvichat Damim. Everything else that was normal, it was just they didn't care about other people's lives. Problem wasn't the increase in the Ben Adam L'Makom, it was the decrease in the Ben Adam L'Chaveru. It's a message for all times. It happens over and over again. It's a recurring problem. Bayit Sheni was destroyed for this reason. Tinat Chinam. It was the inability of people to deal with each other. Ben Adam l'chaviro, Ben Adam l'makom. They were haridim al dvar Hashem in the time of Bayit Sheni. Yet they were killing each other, and there was sinat chidam. Exactly why the bayit was destroyed continues until today. That we have to make tremendous efforts in our Ben Adam l'chaviro to respect other people, treat other people properly, despite our differences and despite our differences in opinions. You can still treat other people in a proper manner. And fortunately, it's not a new problem, and it's a problem that needs to be addressed over and over again. All right, so now we're going to speak about the Trumat HaDeshen, Hotzat HaDeshen. The Psukim, you read this every morning in Karbanot, when you read the Trumat HaDeshen, which is Vedever Shema Moshe Limor, Tzavet Bnei Seo Martelem, Tzavet Aron, Ved Banav Limor, Zot Torah Tohola, He Ola Lamogda Al Mizbeach Ola Laila Reboker, Ve'esh Mizbeach Tukad Bo. Vilava Shekwein Midobad, Umich Nesei Bad Yubash Abzero, That is the Trumat HaDeshen, which is, he has to get dressed in his midobad, that is his tonet. That is his shorts, his pants, knickers that he wears. That's the Trumat HaDeshen. So that's the requirement. After that, you have not. Uvashate bigadav. Then he strips himself off his clothing. Vlavash bigadim achirim. And he wear other clothing. Vehotzi et HaDeshen mechutz l'machaneh makom tor. And then you remove the deshen out to a place that is tahor. Now, Trumat HaDeshen was a daily activity in the Mikdash where they scooped off a piece of the deshen on the Mizbeach and they placed it, went down the ramp, put it on the eastern side of the ramp. That was the Samoetz al HaMizbeach. That's what was done. Hotzat HaDeshen was when the tapuach, the deshen in the middle of the Mizbeach, just got to be excessive and they had to remove it. So there's a requirement we call Hotziat HaDeshen el michutz l'machaneh el makom tor. Take it out of the machaneh, out of Yerushalayim, to the Makom Tor, the place where they put all the Tamei items, where they threw all the stuff that Was it necessary? Now then, which we've also mentioned before, you have to have a fire on the mizbech, it should not be extinguished. They'll put wood on there every day to have the fire. There has to be a permanent fire on the mizbech. It should not be extinguished. So we already dealt with that, that there's a requirement that the hegel brings the fire. Mizbech, despite the fact that Hashem brings a fire down to consume the korbanot, there's still a requirement that the hegel brings a fire to the mizbech. So you have three halachot here. You have chumat deshen, you have hotzat deshen, and then you have the marachot, which is putting the wood onto the fire. Marachot we'll get into more extensively later on. We mentioned it on Friday's daf as well, the fact that there's a requirement for the hegel to bring wood to the pyre and to keep it a lit.
When you did hotzot, did you do the truma also?
Yeah, so chumat deshen is a daily activity in the mikdash. Hotzat deshen is a machloket rishonim. Rashi says hotzat deshen was only done when it was necessary. It wasn't a daily activity. When it was necessary, they took out the excess. The Rambam, on the other hand, thinks that hotzat deshen is a daily activity, similar to the chumat deshen. You do the chumat deshen every day, you do the hotzat deshen every day. It's not something that was done when necessary. It was not an optional avodah. So that's the difference in opinion. But chumat deshen is a daily activity, irrespective of the hotzat deshen. So now the Gemara is going to discuss these psukim. That's why I read them as an introduction. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Upashat velavash bigadim acherim veotziyat deshen. So it says here that he strips down his clothing, and then he puts on other clothing, and then he takes out the deshen. Now we know what clothing he was wearing, because it already told us that he was wearing midobad umichnesei bad. So he was wearing the big day kuhuna. Now he takes off the big day kuhuna, and puts on other clothing. What is the other clothing that he's putting on to do the hotzat deshen? Shom ani kederach yom kippurim. I would think it's like Yom Kippur. Shepushet big day kodesh, v'doshet v'ish big day chol. Just like on Yom Kippur, when he moves from Avodah to Avodah, it means he takes off the big day Zav, puts on big day Lavan, puts on big day Zav. He keeps switching back and forth when he switches Avodot. Now, Kohen Hadjot only has one set of clothing. He has the big day Kehuna. So the other option for switching his clothing is back to his weekday clothing. So when I say he's taking off his clothing and putting on the other clothing means that he doesn't have to wear big day Kehuna to do Hotzat Deshen. He simply has to change into his weekday clothing and take out the Deshen. Tamal Omar, Upashat et Bigadav. Vilavash bigadim acherim. So it says he takes off his clothing and puts on clothing. Mekish bigadim shlovesh, the bigadim shepushet. The juxtaposition here teaches you that the bigadim, the clothing you're going to put on, has to be similar to the ones that you took off. Mala alan big day kodesh, just like before they were big day kuhuna. Afgan big day kodesh, so too over here they put on big day kuhuna. Im kaim, ma tamalomar acherim. Well, if he's taking off his big day kuhuna and putting on big day kuhuna, why bother changing? For the Kohen Hadjot, that just means that he put on four, took him off four, and put on another four. And what's the point of changing your clothing? So Amar's answer is, pechutim mehen. You can put on those that are of lesser value, lesser quality, but the truth is, right, that's what it is. It's really older or worn down big day kuhuna. He wore the newer big day kuhuna for doing the avoda, for doing the chumat deshen. Hotzat deshen, which is a little bit of a dirty work, something that may not be classified as an avoda necessarily, there you can wear pechutim mehen. He wears the lower grade uniform. He wears the lower grade big day kuhuna. And we're going to get to, towards the end here, we mentioned this in Shkalim as well, that in the big day kuhuna, you're allowed to wear worn down big day kuhuna. You just can't wear them if they are ripped or in tatters. But you can wear them if they are thinned out or they're a little worn. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Acherim v'hotzi. He reparses the pasuk and says, wait, you got the Acherim wrong. Now, I mean, obviously the Acherim is right in the pasuk, but he parses it in the drasha and he says, don't read it, upashad bigadav v'levash bigadim acherim. He says, this is the way the pasuk says, v'levash bigadav v'levash bigadim. Then, acherim v'otziyat deshen u'michutz l'machaneh ha'malkom tohar. The acherim is not modifying the bigadim, but modifying the next part of the pasuk, which is v'hotzi. So from that he learns out, what does that mean, that acherim v'hotzi? So that is, l'mir al-kohanim bali mumim, shekshirim l'otziyat deshen. That tells you that kohanim bali mumim can take out the deshen, which means it's not an avoda. Because otherwise, Bali Mumim would not be qualified in order to do that. So Amamar, Acherim Chutim Mehem, Kedetana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. So this is the Tanakama's approach, which is that when we said that it was Begadim Acherim was Chutim Mehem, of a lower quality of older vintage Big Day Kuna. Netana Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Begadim Shibishel Behem Kdera Al Rabbo, Lo Imzog Behem Kosla Rabbo. Clothing in which you cooked for your master, you don't serve your master in. And there's the dirty clothing when you're in the kitchen, and the things that you get all dirty, or your work clothes. And then you come in, when you come in to see the Rebbe, you gotta put on something that is not your work clothes. That's an issue with regards to here. The Gemara quotes it from Shabbat. If you doubt, they're talking about that you have to change your clothing for Shabbat. It's appropriate to come into the Shabbat. After you do all the preparations, the work preparing for Shabbat, you change into the clothing of Shabbat because the preparations are done in different clothing than the actual approach to Hashem or coming into the Shabbat Kodesh, the Kvod Shabbat. The same thing with davening. Important in davening that a person's clothing is soiled in any way, that the person doesn't approach Hashem with their soiled clothing, that you change your clothing. You don't approach in dirty clothing and soiled clothing, or you put on something else that elevates the clothing when you enter into davening so that there is a more respectful approach to Hashem. So Amar Reish Lakish. Rakhshani says, K'machloket bo'tzah, kach machloket beharama. Here's the answer to your question. Reish Lakish says, just like we have a machloket by hotza'ah, is whether a hotza'ah is an avoda or not. Tana Kama believes hotza'ah is clearly an avoda because it requires you to wear big day kuna, even though they are lower quality big day kuna. Rabbi Eliezer clearly thinks that hotza'ah tadeshin is not an avoda because he allows Balei Mumim to participate over here. So then Reish Lakish says, well, the same machloket we have by hotza'ah applies to harama. Harama tadeshin has the same question. Is it an avoda or is it not an avoda? That's what he says here. K'machloket b'hotza'ah, kach machloket b'harama. They're found adjacent to each other in Psukim. Talks about Harama Tadeshin and then Hotzat Tadeshin immediately afterwards. And he says, same machloket, whether Hotzat Tadeshin is an avoda, that same machloket is going to apply to Harama. Rabbi Yochanan Amar machloket b'Hotzat, aval b'Harama divrei hakol avodahi. So Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, no, the machloket is about Hotzat Tadeshin. But Harama Tadeshin is clearly an avoda. My time of the Reish Lakish. What's the reason behind Reish Lakish's position? Amalacha, Isaac, that's called avodahi. It says, if it's an avoda, Yeshacha avoda, Shkshera b'shnei kelim. Since when do you have an avoda that's Kshera b'shnei kelim? Reish Lakish raises an issue in the Psukim by the Truma Tadeshin. By the Truma Tadeshin, the Psukim begin, V'lavash, Shekwein, Midobad, Omechnes, Eibari, Basha, Obsero, and then, Be'irim, Tadeshin, Asher, Tuchal, Eish, Yeto, Olam, Mizbeach, V'samo, Eitzam, Mizbeach. So what is he required to do the Harama Tadeshin? It only means two of the big day kuna. It mentions his midobad, which is his ketonet, and michnesei bad, which is his pants or the shorts that he wears. He's missing his mitznefet. He's missing his abnet. He's missing his garto, his abnet. Abnet and mitznefet. Reish Lakish says, wait a minute. The Torah tells you only need two big day kuna to do Harama Tadeshin. How can you call that an avoda? We know that whenever something is an avoda and requires a kohen, then a kohen has to be fully dressed. A kohen without his big day kuhuna on him is not a kohen. He's always a kohen. He's a zar. He's the equivalent of a zar. So here, if he only is required to put on two of the big day kuhuna, then he's not a kohen. If he's not a kohen, that means this isn't an avoda. That's Reish Lakish's proof that we're not talking about an avoda over here. It says otherwise, why would the Torah only specify two of the kelim? Rabbi Yochanan answers and says, Rabbi Yochanan, Gali Rachman Biktona Michnasaim, Vuadin Mitznefet Vavneit. Rabbi Yochanan says, you extrapolate. The Torah tells you need two of the big day kuna. Since when would two of the big day kuna be meaningful at all? I mean, according to Reish Lakish, he's telling you the Torah tells you put on two big day kuna. What do you mean put on two big day kuna? What is two big day kuna is equivalent to putting on nothing. So then why mention those two big day kuna? It must be it's telling you the two big day kuna to extrapolate so that you put on all four of the big day kihuna. So Gemara says, Umay Shnai Hani. So then why does the Torah mention these two versus anything else? Why are you using these two and extrapolate from them? So Gemara says, we have a limud for each one of them, which is, first of all, midobad. Why is it called the ketonet, the midobad, a measured cloth of linen? And why is it called in that way? Mido, kemidato, that has to be his size. They have to be fitted, and the kohen, when he was doing the avoda, couldn't wear big day kuna that didn't fit. He had to wear things that were custom-made, tailored to his size. The requirement of big day kuna, that they fit properly. That's why these are brought down here, to teach you this additional limud about the ketonet. We mentioned the ketonet here. You had to mention something to tell you you needed big day kuna. So then, once we mention something that you need for big day kuna, they pick two items that we have an additional limud from. This is the one additional limud is Mido, that has to be his size. Second one is, Michnasei Bad, the Gdetanyo. Because the Bad comes to teach you this, what we have from the Braita. Minayin Shloye Davar Kodem Le Michnasayim. How do you know that the pants are the first thing you put on? Shenemar. Because it says in the Pasuk, Umichnasei Bad, Yibash Al Bisaro. So what do you mean, Yibash Al Bisaro? Yibash Al Bisaro means it has to be directly on his body. There's nothing else on his body. It has to be the first clothing that you put on. That's the only thing on b'saro. And also nothing else. Mafsik beno b'saro. So that's why the shorts and the michnasei bad, the pants, knickers, whatever they call them, had to go on first. And that's what it teaches you. So these two items came. Yes, you need big day kuna, but why they picked these two big day kuna? To teach you the additional limudim. I mean, first of all, the big day kuna have to be tailored to the individual. And number two is that the order in which you put on the big day kuna, this tells you what goes on first. Now, the Gemara says, Vireish Lakish, Mido, kemidato. It says, Mido, you're right. That teaches you the same thing. Mid afki rachmanim lashon Mido. And he could have written ketonet. Since it didn't write ketonet, it wrote Mido. So then you have an answer to your question, right? It used an alternative lashon that could have chosen ketonet. It uses Mido. So I learned the same limana. Shalei davar kodem lemichnasayim. Mi albisaro nafka. He learns that out of albisaro. Now, truthfully, it's really from Yubash Absaro, because the pasuk says, "V'lavash hakohen mido bad u'michnasei bad." You could have just stopped there. What is the Yubash Absaro? Why is there another Lavash Absaro that comes to teach you? That extraneous Yubash Absaro comes to teach you that shleya davar kodem nemichnasayim. So now the Gemara takes this and says that maybe this should be this machloket amoraim between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan should be equivalent to a machloket tanaim, which we've seen already earlier in the Masechta. We saw this back on Daf Yud Bet. Yeah, the Gemara brought down this machloket and discussed it in a different context. We're going to quote the whole thing again, even though we only need a portion of it, because it's one long continuum. The Gemara is going to propose here that the machloket amoraim is similar to this machloket tanaim. Tosafot, in the end, asks a question. He says, "V'kashali the Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, the muchach, the lav avoda he. He says it's not avoda. No, atzukaka arba kelim. Says the Torah doesn't require you four kelim, four big dekuena. Again, lamali kroh. The Rabbi Lezer, Achshir Bali Mumim. According to that, why does Rabbi Lezer need a pasuk of Achirim to teach you that Bali Mumim could do it? Once it's not an avoda, what is the automatic outcome of that? Bali Mumim could do it. Azar could do it. Anybody could do it. So why do you need the pasuk to teach you that Bali Mumim could do it once Reish Lakish says it's not an avoda? That's the first question he says. And then the second he says, "My time in the Tanakhama, the pasal Bali Mumim lotza." And then according to Reish Lakish again, what's the reasoning behind the Tanakhama who says that outsiders can't do it? Why not? Why can't they do it if it's not an avoda? So he goes, according to Reish Lakish, how does Reish Lakish explain the opinion of the Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer with Revizavim Balei Mumim? He thinks it's not an avoda. It's not an avoda. Number one, the Balei Mumim should be mutar. So why does the Tanakam say asur? Number two is, why do I need a posuk? According to Rabbi Lezer, teach me that it is mutar. Says, V'yesh lamar mishom the Balei Mumim chashiv kemo zar. So he says, because Balei Mumim has a din like a zar. The sakadat chamina v'chidale adat chash zaru Balei Mumim kravim the gabi mizbeach. How could they come up to the Mizbeach? Now, it's one thing for a Zar to do Shechita. It's one thing for a Baal Mum to participate in certain things that are not an Avoda. Over here, this is an Avoda which talks that you have to go up to the Mizbeach, take something up to the Mizbeach. Okay, maybe not with Big Day Kuhuna, but a total Zar to walk in, Baal Mumim. Right, so the Achi Tzarech Kra. That's why we need a Pasuk to teach you that it's Mutar, and that's why the Tanakhama says he's Pasul. Tosafot comes up with what we said before is almost impossible. We said, well, like, Kohen without Big Day Kuhuna on him is a Zar. Which is the way the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "We bizman shebigdehem alehem kunatam alehem." Once they have the bigadimon, that's when they're a kohen. They don't have the bigadimon; they're not a kohen. So Tosfot says, "No, no, there really is this in-between category. There's a kohen with big day kuhuna on him. There's a kohen without big day kuhuna, and then there's a zar and a baal mum. And you have those. There are three different levels. And therefore, we would have thought we were in this in-between level, which is that you need a kohen. He just doesn't have to have big day kuhuna because it's approaching the mizbeach. That's something a little beyond." Just shchita, or doing something that a zar could be incorporated in. And that's why the Tanakam says pasul, and that's why Rabbi Lezer needs a pasul to be matir over here, because those who creates this in-between category of a kohen without big day kuhuna. The other thing, interesting thing for Reish Lakish is the question of what does he have to wear? Reish Lakish says it's ois avoda. Does he still have to wear these two bigadim? When the Torah says you have to wear these two bigadim to do the otzat deshen. Does that mean you have to wear these two bigadim? Or it's just an indication that you don't have to wear a big day kuhuna, because it's only two out of the four. It's not clear here from Reish Lakish's opinion as to whether you have to actually wear those two. You have to wear the ktonet and the michnasayim. Or the ktonet and michnasayim come to teach you the din, and it also teaches you the din that you don't need big day kuhuna. But that's all it's there for. It's just to teach you the din, not to require you to actually wear them. That is also not clear from Reish Lakish's opinion, because in the end, if it's ois avoda, if it's not an avoda, then why do you need anything on? Could be it's a gzerat ha-katuf. And that might be the answer. And then there's just a gzerat ha-katuf. Neima kitanae. Let's say this is similar to machloket tanaim. Al bisaro matam lomar. Yobash. So what is the word yobash then for? You could have just written, as I read before, you could have read it like this, which is, lavash akwein midobad, umichnesei bad, al bisaro. You could have even had al bisaro. Just leave out the word yobash. You could have learned all the dinim that you want. Just leave out the word yobash. Matam lomar yobash. What does that come to teach you? Lavimit snefet babneit. To tell you, there's another levisha that's not mentioned here, which is the missing clothing that's here. Mitznefen avneit. Laharama. To teach you for a shumat adeshen, you need all of these items. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Doso Omer, the Rabot, Big Day Goen Gadol, Yom Kippurim, Shkshirim, the Goen Ejot. That comes to teach you that the Big Day Goen Gadol and Yom Kippur, which are the four Big Day Lavan that he wears, are Ra'ui for the Goen Ejot to wear them afterwards. So now that has to do with two things. We'll see in a second. There are two assumptions you have to make in order for this to work. Number one is, Amarabi Shtech Tuvot Badavar. I have two answers to that, why you're wrong. Number one is, Chada, Davnei Tosho Goen Gadol, Lo Zeu Avnei Tosho Goen Gadol. That's number one. Which is, there's a difference between the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol and the Avnet of the Kohen Hedjot. That we discussed before, that the Avnet was made out of Kilayim, but in the Psukim, in Parshat Pekudei, when it talks about the Avnet, it's somewhat ambiguous as whether it's talking about the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol or the Avnet of the Kohen Hedjot. It's for that reason we don't know. We also know by Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol wears only boots, linen. Now the question is, what does the belt of the Kohen HaGadol look like? So Rabbi says they're not parallel. That means the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim is wearing boots, is plain linen. Kohen HaGadol during the week is wearing kilayim for his belt. So their two are not parallel. You couldn't have the Kohen Gadol's clothing be worn by the Kohen HaGadol because it just doesn't qualify. He doesn't have the right belt. So that's your first assumption. First assumption, the position of Rabbi Dosa is that the Kohen Ejot during the weekday wear only boots. He wore a linen belt, and therefore the clothing of the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur would qualify to be for the Kohen Ejot. That's his first assumption. Vote. Rabbi's challenge to Rabbi Dosa tells you the two assumptions of Rabbi Dosa's opinion. So the second challenge is, Begadim she'nishtamasht bahen kedusha chamura, that were used for something that was a higher level of kedusha, Tishtamech ben kedusha kala, then you're going to use them for lower kedusha. It's worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. And now afterwards, you're going to downgrade them, let them use that Kohen Ejot to wear them and do a normal avoda. How could you do that? Elamah Talmud Lomar Yobash. So then what's the point of Yobash? Larabot et shkakim. That comes to teach you that even things that are worn down, big deguna that are worn down, are fine. So that means that Rabbi Dosa has to make another assumption. Just like Rabbi Dosa over here, Rabbi says you're wrong because you're downgrading the big deguna gedolah, because you can't use them again. The big day kuna gdola from Yom HaKippurim are done. Once they're done, they're done. That means Rabbi Dosa does not believe that. And that's from the next limon, which is Venicham Sham, Pasuk in Achremot, at the end of the day when the Kohen Gadol takes off his big day levan, it says Venicham Sham, he leaves them there. Lameid Shetunim Gniza, that teaches you they have to put away permanently. Venicham Sham means he's leaving them forever. What is ever? That means they go into Gniza, they can't be used again. Rabbi Dosa Omer Ruin Hein the Kohen Hejot. So Ma Tamon Omer Venicham Sham. Oh, they are. No, Kohen Ejot can use them. So what do you do with that Nicham Sham? Shelo yishtamesh ben Yom HaKippurim Acher. Nicham Sham is that you can't utilize them again for another Yom Kippur. They're put away for Yom Kippur. But they can be used for other things, like a Kohen Ejot. Right, so here, the assumption is that it's not. Rabbi says that that's the case. That's his challenge, Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa clearly thinks that that's not an issue over here, that the Malam Mikodesh Beinam Urdidin is not a question with Big Day Kuna. The fact that you can't use from another Yom Kippur is a Gzerat HaKatuv. It's not an issue of Kedusha. And therefore, this Malam Mikodesh is not relevant to the Big Day Kohen Gadol. He basically has been stripped down to a Kohen Hejot on Yom Kippur. That's basically what Rabbi Dosa is saying. That the Kohen Gadol, when he's in his Big Day Lavan, becomes, in a sense, that Kohen Hejot. So my la bahaka miflagei, this is what the machloket is in this braita. Whether marsavar avodahi, one of them holds it's an avoda, marsavar lav avodahi. They're arguing about whether it's an avoda. Now, I mean, that's the earlier part here. Whether by miflagei, bad yubash, do you require the mitznefet and the avnate? Do you have to include those extra big day kahuna, or do you not need to include them? Rabbi Dosa says no, Yobash comes to teach you that the Kohen Gadol's clothing can be used by the Kohen Ejot. Whereas the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda says no, that comes to teach you need a mitznaf and an avnet for the Trumat HaDeshen. Sounds like their machloket is about whether Trumat HaDeshen is an avoda or not. Look, the Gemara says, look, the Kuli Alma Avodi. Everybody agrees that it's an avoda. V'hacha b'kam miflegei. Mar Saver tzricha gra l'rubuye. Mar Saver lo tzricha gra l'rubuye. The machloket here is whether the pasuk needs to include the other clothing. Do you need to add those other clothing in? Do you say dafka, these two pieces of clothing? Or do we say, no, you have to include the others? So everybody agrees it's an avoda, and everybody agrees you need big day kahuna. The question is, by the fact that the Torah mentions these two pieces of clothing, do I automatically extrapolate and say, well, if it mentions these two big day kahuna, of course all four of them? Or do I need a specific ribu in the pasuk, yobash, to tell me not only these two pieces of clothing, but the additional two pieces of clothing? So that's the question. The question is, how do you read the pasuk in the default? The pasuk in the default, when it mentions two big dekuna, does that in your mind say two automatically equals four? And I don't need any other reboy. I know by the fact that the Torah tells me two, that I extrapolate that to all four. But no, maybe the Torah really meant two. And therefore I need a specific reboy of Yobash to teach me that it gets to the four. So they both agree you have to get to four big dekuna. It's a question of how do you get there? You get it simply by reading the pasuk and saying, I got two equals four. Or they say, no, I have two, and then I have Yelbash to become the inclusion. And that is the machlok between them, whether I need an additional riboy to get to the A4 big day kuna. Okay, we'll step over here.